Technorama episode 511, Adama's Beard.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need a place to put my TV and stereo receiver, and this wall doesn't work.
Over there, in the media corner.
It doesn't go with the rug.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
It really brings the room together.
Yeah, right. Just don't pee on it.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. We welcome your eyeballs and earballs. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. Listener, viewer, earballs, eyeballs, we make it up as we go along. It's the Indiana Jones School of Podcasting.
Right.
We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am wunderbar.
And joining us here in the Binary Studio in Phoenix, Arizona, is the man who does the
Technorama. Hey, that would be me.
At the beginning of every show.
I was cleaning my earballs. Sorry, I was distracted. I'm Michael R. Menengai. Hi.
And special.
Right, by the way.
Special in studio guest is the one and only Rick Stringer.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer.
I love that voice. I miss that voice. I really miss that voice on podcasts. He used to do the Variant Frequency podcast. Mm-hmm. Well written, well performed, and very well missed.
Beautiful, beautiful show.
Thank you. When's he coming back?
Right here.
Okay. Right now. Right now. That's what we're doing right now. Sit back and relax. Yep. Yep. Let Rick's dulcet tones lull you into awesomeness always.
Well, you know, we can get you guys doing some horror stories here.
There you go.
Hey. You find the writers, we'll do the performance. We have some feedback from our last show. We don't have any letters.
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Doo-doo.
Mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters. I love those letters.
I love them too.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Mail
here, boy.
Mail today.
We don't have any letters, but what we do have is answers to last week's question of the week. What fictional character do you best relate to and why?
Wait one second.
Well, we have another response.
As we're recording this, it's John Miller Jr.'s birthday. So happy birthday.
Hey, there you go.
We have, I used to have something for that, but I don't have it on the board right now.
Pepto-Bismol?
Alka-Seltzer?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, John Miller Jr.
Yeah, something to wash down all that birthday cake.
Faithful companion of the show on our live stream every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. Ding, ding.
Ding. There you go.
He wrote in to this question. He relates to Clark Kent, the pre-crisis one.
Really?
Treated as a throwaway by most folks who interact with him. I'm glad John Byrne rebooted his persona when he rebooted Superman. Clark is a lot more capable and a little more daring than before. All-Star Superman gives us a taste of the old version of Clark. Highly recommended reading this miniseries or watching the animated movie.
Yes, actually, I loved All-Star Superman, and I also am a big fan of John Byrne.
Does that mean he played in the baseball game with the rest of the All-Stars?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This is not a sports podcast. That did not go to the White House.
Sports, sure. What that ball, that
hockey
sports
ball
thing. Yeah, that's right.
You're talking inside baseball there, buddy.
Yeah.
Never mind. Next, we have Lone Guy's Knight, friend of the show. He relates to Charlie Brown because I'm sort of a blockhead and don't have many friends.
Oh,
I doubt that very much, sir.
That's so sad.
I consider you a friend.
That's God right.
Yes, right.
Must be. I might be his Snoopy. That didn't come out anywhere near where I wanted it to, so let's just go on. Penultimately, Wayne Pittenger says, TK421, because I'm not at my post.
Nice.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
That's clever.
That almost goes on a t-shirt.
Yes. I like that.
And Mike Will says he relates to Barry Allen because he's an awkward geek at first. Well, just as long as your wife doesn't start calling you the Flash, you're pretty good.
That's what she said.
Awesome.
There's an old joke about Superman along those lines, too.
Are we doing ours, too? Or?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Are we doing ours, too?
Sure. What characters do you relate to and why?
Well, I was just asking. Now I have. Now you put me on the spot.
Well, you prompted for it. Yeah. Was that?
Sorry.
It's all your fault, Mike.
I'd actually have to say Spider-Man.
Why is that?
Because he is totally underestimated. He is.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say because the Hulk is already taken.
No, definitely not. That's probably yeah. Because I mean he's an incredibly nerdy guy that is brilliant in his own way, but he's totally underappreciated for it until he puts the freaking costume on. And yeah, I got a few parallels there, maybe. Not that I'm out running around doing hero work,
but Peter Parker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always felt empowered when I got in front of
a microphone.
This thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with
when
that.
When I got behind that board and got in front of this microphone.
No fear.
That was my thing. And every other time, the rest of the time, yeah, forget it.
What about you, Rick?
Boy, I have to say, that's a tough one, to be honest.
I know, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that any of them really are like me in any way. I think the one I related to the most growing up was Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just only because I thought it
you're rich
because you
really
were
cool.
A billionaire and you like to play.
I wanted to be.
Oh, you know? I see. Okay.
Lived in a cave.
Yeah. Lived in a cave. Yeah. I was a billionaire and lived in a cave and counted a lot of coins.
Yeah. I liked that he didn't have any superpowers. He just made it happen, sure. You know, with
his brain
and
right.
I went with Tony Stark just because he's a gadget guy. And now that I have an Amazon Echo and I can talk to my house and make it do stuff, that's
you've
just
got your
fun.
Jarvis.
That's right.
Gotcha.
If I could name Jarvis. That thing Jarvis, I would, but you can't.
Oh,
at least
man.
Not today.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. It may come.
Yep. Yeah. I hope so.
Yep.
Now, I'm kind of in the Charlie Brown area because I always feel like I end up following the rules and I get screwed anyway.
You got the hots for the little redheaded girl?
Yeah.
I'll tell my wife. It was either that or Arthur Dent from Hitchhiker's Guide because, you know, he kind of happens along this adventure and ends up being important in the end. So
just don't forget your towel.
Ooh, I like that. That's actually really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that one then.
Arthur Dent, not what's his name Dent from Batman, the Two-Face guy.
Oh right, no,
yeah,
not the same Dent at all.
Harvey Dent.
Sorry, no.
Harvey Dent. That's
I'm here
was.
Playing with my microphone and I got my mouth gaping open like I'm an idiot.
And that's different because
all right, I'm passing out the D20s.
I was.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
roll
folks.
Roll them, Craig.
I wasn't having a seizure, folks. I was trying to get my headphones to work.
Okay, Google. Roll a 20 die, side of die.
I got a 7.
I'm last.
I got a 6.
I got a 9.
I got
thanks,
a 1.
Google.
Wow, you got a 1?
I got a 1. Craig, you're first.
That's a critical fail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I better roll to see if I can live through this next segment.
You trip over a rake and die on a caterpillar.
9. Wow.
A poodle mauls you.
A poodle mauls you.
You trip over a roach and die.
A gust of wind comes by.
Yeah, 1 on a 20-side die. Yeah, that's
it's
pretty
this,
rough.
This foam one that Scott Tyler gave me is complete rubbish. I'm rolling again. I'm not even calling that an official roll. This is a 17.
Oh, well, then you won.
Okay, then I win. I show my rules.
He picks up the rake and beats the poodle.
Roll for initiative.
Roll for
the
initiative.
The gust of wind turns into a tornado, takes the poodle. On this day in history for July 26, 2017, this is the 207th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, there are 158 days remaining in 2017. It was on this date in 1775 that the United States Post Office Department is established by the Second Continental Congress. Craig, I think you got the nine, yes.
Yes, you got
the nine. Yeah, I did, okay. Also today in 1803, the Surrey Iron Railway, arguably the world's first public railway, opens in South London, United Kingdom.
It was 135 years ago today that premiere of Richard Wagner's, opera, Parsifal at Bayreuth. Bayreuth, okay.
Isn't Parsifal in Parsifal. Ready Player One?
Yeah, Parsifal at Bayreuth. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Nice job, Mike.
Dang. No problem. Hey.
It was also this date in 1887 that witnessed the publication of the Una Libro, founding the Esperanto movement.
Nice.
What a classic moment in history it was.
It was. I'll never forget that day.
I think I had an Esperanto movement before the show started.
TMI.
Is that what happens after Taco Bell?
After Chino Bandito's.
Yeah, it is. It. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Also on July 26, 1946, Aloha Airlines begins service from Honolulu International Airport.
And it was also on this date in 1951 that Walt Disney's 13th animation film, Alice in Wonderland, premieres in London, England, United Kingdom, which they're kind of dominating the top...
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was 59 years ago today that Explorer 4 is launched as part of the Explorer Space Program.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
I know. Wow.
54 years ago today, SINCOM 2, the world's first geosynchronous satellite, is launched from Cape Canaveral on a Delta B booster.
That is really freaking cool. I did not know that was... 54 years ago? Wow.
It's older than me.
I was almost six.
Barely. That same date in 1971, as part of the Apollo program, Apollo 15 is launched on the first Apollo J mission and first use of the Lunar Roving Vehicle. Nice. I remember that.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do too. Yep. I had a model of it.
And keeping up on the space tip, July 26, 2005, Space Shuttle Discovery is launched. This is NASA's first scheduled flight mission after the Columbia disaster in 2003.
I remember watching that.
I do too.
That was on a ski trip.
That was sad.
Didn't think it could happen again after Challenger, but hey.
Yeah.
Bad news travels.
Hey, happy birthdays go out on this date to Polish inventor and engineer Stefan Drzewicki.
Close enough.
Drzewicki is sure. Close enough. Born on this date in 1844.
Drzewicki.
There we go.
Good enough.
Born July 26, 1895, American actress, comedian Gracie Allen.
Who's going to say it?
Yeah.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Say goodnight, Chuck.
Also turning 98 today is independent scientist, environmentalist, and futurist James Lovelock.
American film director, screenwriter, and producer Blake Edwards was born 95 years ago today.
Wow.
Yeah, 95. Wow. That's a big wow.
I did not know he was that old.
I think he's dead.
Born maybe. July 26, 1922, American actor Jason Robards, who made a great treat.
American husband and wife picture books writer and illustrator duo Stan and Jan Berenstain, born on this date in 1923.
Wow. Were they... both born on this
That's
date?
That's what I was going to just
This is
ask
written
you.
Very enigmatically.
Yeah, well.
Hmm. I remember reading many of those books to my kids.
Well, yes, maybe they were absolutely. Born the same date. That's kind of interesting.
It happens.
It does.
Who's next? Oh, me.
That's you.
We're all looking at you.
James Best, the American actor, musician, artist, was born 91 years ago today.
Stanley Kubrick, American film director, screenwriter, producer, cinematographer, and all-around editor. was born on this same date in 1928.
He just couldn't get his computer to open the pod bay doors.
That's right. Also turning 74 is British rock musician, member of the Rolling Stone, Mick Jagger.
74.
74.
And Mick he's a recent
still going.
Dad.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That is a potent dude.
I don't want to be getting down on the floor with my kids when I'm 74.
No.
You won't get back up.
Actress Nana Visitor, born on this date in 1957.
Hmm. She's 60 years old.
Yep.
Doing pretty good there, Nana.
Chuck?
Also born on the same date in 1959, American actor, director, screenwriter, producer, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Frank Underwood.
Yes, indeed, Frank.
Mr. President, American video game designer Tim Schafer is 50 today.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to our birthday listeners. Special listener birthdays. July 26th, Aaron Heath from Adelaide, Australia. July 27th, wife of Will the Computer Guy. I hope they're still married, and I hope she's still his wife, and it's her birthday. 29th is Sean Farrell, host of the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing podcast. Brian Hunt, a.k.a. Zaphod Beeble Brox, is on the 30th. And on the 31st is the wedding anniversary of Will the Computer Guy. On the 31st.
Wonderful.
That's the way it was on this day in history for July 26, 2017. Send us out.
Wow, you did good on that.
Well, when you listen to the music in the background, you kind of rush the end. That's the way it goes.
There you go.
I didn't even have time to tell them. If you want to get your name on the Technorama birthday calendar, get a shout out at the appropriate time of year, give us a jingle, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and you can put your name on there. You can apparently put your anniversaries on there and whatever else works for you. We'll give a shout out. Keep it clean, and we'll take care of the rest.
Well, I'm really sorry you weren't able to get that in there. That's really sad. That's people would have liked to have known that.
I think. Listen to the music in the background. You know what you have time for. Yeah. And move on.
And hey, it's not like we haven't heard it before, Mike.
Right.
Every week for the last 12 years. We have some good news.
Good news, everyone.
Is it?
It is good news. Okay. There was a story about a security robot that went rogue and fell into a pond, and there was suspecting foul play.
Why is that good news?
Well, it was not foul play.
The suicide robot. I read about this. It was horrible. I cried.
I thought it was Marvin.
Give to the Marvin.
The depressed robot.
Give to the Marvin Foundation.
This is the best I can be.
Prevent robot suicide in our
time.
That
is awesome. I did not even go there. That bravo, bravo, bravo.
Billions of dollars of research. Hey, billions of dollars of research, and I'm a security officer. All cop.
Brain is the size of a planet.
By now, you've probably heard that the security robot that fell into a fountain in Washington, D.C. is practically the stuff of legend as far as the internet is concerned.
Yeah, it is.
That was our original story, but then this one came out to follow it up. But what really happened on that tragic day, investigators want to know. We're starting to get a clearer picture. BizNow has learned that the robot, a Nightscope K5 named Steve
the robot.
Well, at least they didn't name him Robot Rick McBrody Face.
Robot McBrody. Robot McRobo Face? That would be it.
Steve was neither the victim of a pushy human nor showing signs of trouble before its fateful plunge. It was supposed to follow a prescribed route, like a Roomba. That he was vacuuming the mall that night out of harm's way, so the robot had to have made a decision to veer off the beaten path. Management security staff had trained the robot days before, too. Oh, just days. He had days of training. It's more than we can give some of our employees.
Days of training.
I'm a sophisticated security robot, and they have me sweeping up the mall.
This kind of, he kind of looks like one of those spacecraft from The Martian.
Right.
I know Kung Fu.
But what was the cause? That's still unknown, although it's safe to say Steve wasn't bemoaning the state of politics or suffering from existential dread. It's possible that a software glitch led to the deadly change in course, or the weather threw it off.
Oh, it's a big gust of wind.
A poodle.
A poodle.
He rolled a one.
He rolled.
Poor robot.
The dive isn't deterring anyone involved. The property is using a replacement robot at the moment, Jerry.
Jerry replaced Steve. Hey, Jerry was gunning for Steve's job. I would be looking to Jerry.
Jerry pushed him.
He did it.
I wonder if there's some surveillance video where one robot pushes the other one off.
This is my beat. Get off, Steve.
Should have had that job. Should have got that promotion. Steve is expected to make a recovery once he gets repairs. I can't believe we're reading this. He may have died, but he's not gone forever. MRP Realty, which deployed Steve, clearly isn't deterred. It wants to implement more of the Nightscope's robots at their... Isn't the Nightscope's in charge of keeping the wall... clear of free of White Walkers?
the Night's Watch.
Nightscope's robots. Come on. The
Nightscope's robots. They just
better shots. They use from the tower.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the Nightscope's. They're better shots than those.
There you go.
Those flunky they got.
They just need a few giants to take them out. That'll do it.
He'll be back on the job in 3 to 6 months. However, it's safe to say that both MRP and Nightscope will be combing over the data from this incident to reduce the chances of another Steve incident.
Poor Steve. Yeah. Let's all have a moment of silence for Steve.
I wonder how effective these things are really.
For security?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop or I will shoot.
That's right.
I don't think that's what they do. I think they just take video. Isn't that their job? They roam around.
You can do that with a static camera.
I know. It's weird. I that's what I was getting from the write-up on it. I was reading about this a couple of days ago, so it's not fresh. But they have a couple things that they can do. They can basically sound a loud alarm. So basically they have a freaking rape whistle. And then they have they have video
Who's gonna
cameras.
Rape a robot?
Well, it's I
Gary.
Mean, yeah. Gary is really after Steve's job. But they have video cameras on them. They can also call text through to help with Wi-Fi. If the connection is up, evidently the connection's kind of spotty. So sometimes they can call, sometimes they can't. So yeah, don't bet your life on that robot saving you. But it seems like it's fairly rudimentary stuff. Nothing really spectacular. It's not like it's got a death ray on it that's going to take you out if you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, and here's another aspect I didn't realize. This thing has some environmental sensors on it. So it can detect fires and gas leaks and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Which is why the weather may have affected it.
Oh.
A drop in barometric pressure has caused Steve to run into the fountain.
Nice.
We're analyzing all the data. That's just a sad picture.
It is a sad picture. It
looks like he really committed suicide.
I'm out of here.
Goodbye, cruel world. Well, that's right. It was a fun story. Hey, yeah.
Next, Mr. Menegay, would you take a NASA story for us? Because the eclipse is coming.
Sure. And NASA doesn't want you to go blind.
I'm sorry, right Thank there. You. Just.
Yeah, we're done.
Wonderful.
Oh.
You play with your telescope too much, you go blind.
I need a longer lens.
You'll get hair on your hands too, kid.
That's right. That's right. Okay, anyway, moving on. The much-celebrated full solar eclipse is just 1 month away for those of you in the continental United States. And NASA really does not want you to go blind when it finally happens. To that end, the organization has released some important tips to ensure that you preserve your eyesight. First, don't look directly at the sun, something that you probably should know by now anyway. But hey, we're going to remind you about it anyhow.
PSA time. So,
This should be common sense. A third grader knows this. You should too. But you may not have been aware of the fact that sunglasses are not considered proper eyewear for eclipse purposes. Really? Okay. You need to have a special set of eclipse glasses or a solar viewer to look directly at the sun, even if it's already partially eclipsed. Or run down to the welding shop and pick up some welding goggles, because those work really awesome.
Rent them from the rental shop for a couple hours.
Yeah, that works really well too. And please, for the love of God and your eyesight, do not cheap out and try to make your own eclipse glasses by combining five pairs of sunglasses in succession and looking at the sun. I kid you not, I know people that have done this.
I got five 3D glasses. I can put stack them right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they're polarized, so you know you spin them around and so forth.
Turn my head a little bit. And I can...
Anyway, buy a pair and make sure they are less than 3 years old and the lenses are in good shape. To confirm that you have a quality product, the manufacturer's name and address should appear somewhere on the glasses, and they should also have an ISO 21312-2 certification.
No, 12312-2. You transpose the two and the one.
Two, three. Well,
the other one ensures that it has no saccharin.
Yeah, okay. Well, I see.
It's the proper rubber grade in the tires.
Yes, that's it.
hey, and by the way, I saw on Amazon several packs where they're like less than $12. You can get like 10 or 5. Mm-hmm. So they're not expensive.
No, they're not super expensive. It's just they have to be the right amount of polarizing so that you're not basically burning your eyeballs out, your retinas out, because you're looking at the sun.
We picked up some. You're right. They're not expensive. We bought some. They look like those paper 3D glasses, but they're paper eclipse mm-hmm. glasses from the Lowell Observatory about a year ago.
Well, and they're not. I don't know. Maybe it's later on in the story, but you know, you can always do the shadow. The pinhole and the shadow too. That works beautifully.
Yeah, you're not looking
at the sun at all. It's just a pinhole and a piece of white paper.
Right,
you have it in your printer now. It's free, and all it takes is a freaking tie tack to stick through a hole, and you're done.
Or you can turn on your computer, and it'll be on every stream you can.
Every stream possible. Turn on the TV; it'll be everywhere. Yeah. Sit in the comfort of your house.
I don't have to drive to Wyoming.
You don't have to drive to Wyoming.
Well, I do because my family's expecting.
Hey, luckily for me, I just got to drive an hour and a half down the road.
Well,
so I'm going to see it.
You're going to see it so many hours after I'm done with it.
Just stare at it.
There's going to be so much on that. Yep.
I was watching a YouTube video. This guy was talking about all the different phases of the eclipse, and he had a guy on his show where he was talking about, he wrote this app called the Solar Eclipse Timer, and you put it on your phone, tells you exactly where you're at, what the time is going to be for the duration, and when it's the different phases and what you can do during, you know,
there's a website that's superimposed onto Google Maps that you can do that too. You say, I'm going here. And it says, this is when it will start. This is when it's totality. This is when
the looting starts.
Yeah, all right. It's when your animals freak out. Actually, but what was cool was on us.
The hawk.
That's when the hawk and the wolf can actually be together. Yes, that's right.
Lady Hawk.
Okay.
Wow, that was... I got it. I was there. I'm with you.
There's a second piece to the story about NASA, and they want you to be part of the data gathering for this, because as the moon passes in front of the sun, temperatures will drop because it's effectively nighttime.
Yeah.
And... they want to gather data.
Plus, there's no solar radiation, no radiation coming to the Earth. So
that's going
to
be a hit here in Phoenix.
Well, this is only partial eclipse here.
Yay, we can celebrate for 5 minutes. Yay!
But even if you're not in the path of totality, they still want to get a lot of data. So they've come out with an app, and you can find it in our show notes. It's called like NASA Global Observer, and Android, iOS, same kind of thing. And you can record your data, say what the time is, and the brightness, and is it overcast, and what's happening around you. So they can collate that and understand what it means on a global scale. I thought that was pretty cool that they're crowdsourcing the data gathering.
But you have about 2 minutes record all that.
No, you got like an hour and a half for the whole thing to take place.
Yeah.
2 minutes is only when the moon is.
I was talking about the totality part. I mean, yeah. I want to be looking at it. I don't want to be recording. Hey, the temperature, it's about 72.
Well, there's other things to that too. They're going to be looking at wind, because there was some speculation a couple years back for the other eclipse that happened down in Ecuador or wherever it was, that there may be some actual effect on air currents and the wind.
No, that makes sense, because with temperature change comes
I would think so.
Pressure and
and pressure least, changes. They wanted to see about barometric pressure change and some other. I mean, there is definitely data to be gathered from this.
Yep.
So it's cool that they're crowdsourcing it. I'm not sure how much I'm into public crowdsourcing of that kind of data, but hey, well, I guess if you get a lot of positives,
it was hot.
Right. You know, here's a YouTube video of it.
Then it was dark.
So you got it. I know, Chuck, you said you're going to Wyoming to see it, but what about Rick and Mike? Are y'all going to be somewhere where you can see it?
No, I'm going to stay home. Like Chuck said, there's going to be so much coverage of this. And I've actually seen, I'm old enough that I have seen an eclipse. So
yeah, I've seen it before.
I've never seen a total.
I've seen a total. I've been alive long enough that I actually saw a total. I was in
1844. Hell,
I don't know where I don't even remember where I was living, but I did actually see it, and we did the hole in the paper and the watched it go past, and then when it went to Corona, then you can actually look at it without burning your eyeballs out and Corona. Watch that go. And there was lots of beer and lots of other things happening, and the eclipse was really the least interesting thing of that day. But I do remember it, and it was cool.
You have all the heathens running around with their clothes off.
The sun's not coming back. It wasn't quite that bad. It was more a redneck party than it was anything else. So yeah, really,
how about you, Rick?
Really crappy beer.
I'll be in Traverse City.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to go hunting it.
You'll have some partial eclipse there. I mean, the whole U.S. is going to see some level of eclipse.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think it is a cool thing. The problem is what's really setting me away from it, or pushing me away from it, is the price gouging that's going on right now for the people that are going to go into those areas that are going to have the eclipse. It's like, oh my God, it's lottery time for all these people, and they're raising rates and charging extra for this, and they're putting all this food in place, and all the restaurants are stocking up.
Come with us. We got a tent. We won't charge you that much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, that's it. I think there's ways to do it cheap, but yeah, if you want to go some of these places, you're going to, I just don't know.
Well, if I go a little south of Columbia, I can see it for the entire duration of the totality, but where I'm going is just slightly north of Columbia, and I got some family there. I'm just going to go in their backyard. You know, I'll see it.
Yeah,
see it for what?
Absolutely. If you can go see it cheap and don't have to pay and don't get gouged for it. But me, I'd have to go drive up there and stay and get a room and so forth.
Yeah. There's places in Greenville, they were charging $50 for a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that.
Yeah.
I'll just go find a piece of grass, park for a minute, but I'm going to my family, so I'm not worried about it.
All right, we got a comment from the live feed. Scott Parsons gives you extra points for the Lady Hawk shout out.
Nice. Good job, Rick.
my old buddy Scott.
We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back with a couple extra segments in the show. We'll return just after this. Stick with us.
Well, it's summertime, and you know what that means? That means it's just about time for the dog days of podcasting. The 30-day challenge, where podcasters get together and record quick and dirty, fun little podcasts that they throw together onto a master feed, and you get to join in on the fun. There's two ways you can join in. You can, and you can do both. You can listen to every single episode that comes out and get a smorgasbord of different topics brought to your ears every single day. Or you can even grab a microphone or your phone and create and record your own podcast every day and join in the fun. If you've never done a podcast before, this is a great way to get your feet wet. If you're a veteran podcaster, this is a great way to spice up the podcasting and make it a little more fun and break yourself out of the habit. It's like a summer vacation. The only thing you really need is to have something to say. So why don't you do it? Grab a microphone or just grab the RSS feed and join us. Go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com and you will find all the information that you need to know to listen or to join us and podcast yourself.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
Get me a new Oreo.
Hey, every time I hear him say that, what? Don't forget, frack off, I get a little intimidated. Hard not to, right?
I hope we have a chance to meet up with him again this year. We will be at Dragon Con again this year, 2017. Looking to do another combined show with Comedy Forecast, Clinton Albert, and we've been doing this for the last couple of years.
Again with him? Oh, my God. Oh, wait.
We're Someone's got to carry the show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And doing the parade. Yes.
Wait, what?
Did we miss something?
Yeah, Chuck, let's do a little plug real quick before we move on.
Yes.
What are we doing with Clinton besides Dragon Con?
We have started a new podcast.
Yes.
Craig and Clinton and I, a new podcast. And it's very strange when you start a new podcast because this is now episode 511 of Technorama. And we get on a new show and it's, this is The Topic with Trek, episode 2.
Yeah.
I feel like I just started, like I got out of bed or something.
Hey, welcome to Potholes.
That's right. Yeah, so it's called The Topic is Trek. And that's where you can find it at, and you can kind of guess what we're talking about. Babylon 5.
Right.
Star Wars and Doctor Who. The topic is anything but Trek. No, it's a lot of fun. It is focused on Star Trek. Obviously, there's talk about Discovery in there and many other things. We will get a proper promo generated soon. We're still getting our sea legs because, as everybody knows, usually the first 5 episodes of a new podcast kind of stink. We're just figuring out the timing and all this good stuff. So it's a lot of fun. If you want to throw this one in the archives, come back to it in a few years.
Just for the record, I'm on point. It's just the other two that got to work on.
You missed the first episode. What are you talking about? You weren't even on the first show.
I didn't need it. I didn't need it.
Oh, yeah. He's so polished and in the groove.
That's right. I'm getting sick.
Okay.
Hacks and Strange Stories. Like that one. Hacks and Strange Stories. We did not already do this one. I brought up the story. We didn't get a chance to
read
it.
No, we didn't do this one.
I'm going to let Rick read this one.
I figured he would.
All right. IBM's AI can predict schizophrenia by looking at the brain's blood flow.
Okay. Tell me more.
Schizophrenia is not a particularly common mental health disorder in America, affecting just 1.2% of the population.
That's a lot of people.
It's around 3.2 million people.
Oh, there you go.
But its effects can be debilitating. However, pioneering research conducted by IBM and the University of Alberta could soon help doctors diagnose the onset of the disease and the severity of its symptoms using a simple MRI scan and a neural network built to look at blood flow within the brain.
Okay.
This unique innovation, multidisciplinary approach opens new insights and advances our understanding of the neurobiology of schizophrenia, which may help to improve the treatment and management of the disease. Dr. Sardar Dursun, a professor of psychiatry and neuroscience with the University of Alberta, said in a statement,
okay,
the research team first trained its neural network on a 95-member dataset of anonymized fMRI images from the Function Biomedical Informatics Bioresearch Network. You guys getting all
what,
this?
What is a fMRI?
Field magnetic resonance.
Field. Oh, I thought it was fart.
There's generally two different types that I'm aware of, field and open.
Got it. Okay.
Which included scans of both patients with schizophrenia and a healthy control group.
Well, it's a good enclosed space, you know. It's
That's right.
Really hard not to.
That first picture we had on the screen, wasn't that the thing that ate Spock in the immunity syndrome?
It might have been.
Okay. What? Go back
that
to
thing.
It.
Where? The giant amoeba on Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yes, it was. Yeah, yeah. Oh, holy cow. Yeah, it kind of looks like...
All right,
oh boy.
And we'll go to the other images then. These images illustrated the flow of blood through various parts of the brain as the patients completed a simple audio-based exercise. From this data, the neural network cobbled together a predictive model of the likelihood that a patient suffered from schizophrenia based on the blood flow. It was able to accurately discern between the control group and those with schizophrenia 74%
of
the time.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that is good.
That's better than I thought. I was expecting like maybe a 50 or 55 or 60%, something like that, where they call that that's a win. You know, anything over 55% is pretty good. 74, that's impressive.
High. Yep.
So if I don't think I have it and I go get this checked out and it says that my blood flow says that I do, does that mean I have a 74% chance of being schizophrenic?
That you could, that you may have the propensity for it.
Okay.
I know reading research of several years ago that there are actually a lot more people that have schizophrenia that just don't present. That they have the potential for it. We all have the potential for something massively screwed up in us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what actually manifests and becomes more than just the possibility of it.
Yeah. I hear voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some just have it more than others.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 74% of the time. No, it's 26% of the time. No, it's
74%. He's getting in an argument with his inner self.
Right.
You're wrong. No, you're wrong. No.
My precious. My precious.
Oh, shut up and read some Trump tweets.
What is the MRI, precious? What is MRI?
Well, give a shout out to the people that are watching us live. We got three viewers and only a couple have checked in that I can see. Craig, what do you see?
I've got
Cynthia Fry. When we were rolling our D20 and I rolled a one, she said, "You bleed out from a paper cut."
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
my old buddy, Scott Parsons. I know him.
Yep. Yep. All righty. Yeah. And we don't have evidence of too many other people. Tim Elliott is watching now.
Yes.
I'm clicking on the watching now and I see it's odd because it says there's a little three in the upper corner, but there's only two people when you click watching it now.
Like, so when you click on it, does that mean we can watch them too? Is that
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got at least four on this end. We outnumber you.
Who's watching the watchers?
That's right.
That's right.
If you want to catch
Tim
us,
went away.
9:30 Eastern on Facebook, we'll be there. Otherwise, you can get the podcast as we release it Tuesday night to the rest of the world. Special shout out, especially to Steven, whom we met at the MST3K live show in Phoenix on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the VIP program, and we were having a small talk. And I mentioned to him that I met Grant Pachoco, who played, was it Trevor the Bonehead?
I think that's what you said.
What was Donna? Do you remember his name?
Trevor.
He was one of the minions on the new Mystery Science Theater 3000, the motorcycle headed guys with the bones on their heads.
They called them
the Boneheads.
The skeleton crew?
Yeah.
The skeleton crew.
Yep. Well, that's Grant's character was in there, and I said, "Well, I know Grant through podcasting." He said, "Oh, you do a podcast?" I said, "Yes, it's called Technorama." And Steven said, "I'll give it a listen." So, Steven, if you're listening, it was good meeting you there. Give us a shout out back and prove it.
He listened to this episode. He'll never listen again. That's it.
Yeah,
I only made it to the first 10 minutes and turned it off.
That's right.
We didn't say it was great podcast.
That's right. It deserves the show.
We've been around forever like fungus.
That's right.
Oh, we had a really good time at that show. It was a lot of fun. If you catch the tour dates at mst3k.com and it happens to come in your area, I highly recommend it. Craig is going it comes to Atlanta.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, August 12th, I think.
Yeah, and the tour is over. It ends in Atlanta. That's the last place they're going to be. It started early June.
Mm-hmm. See, I was sitting there going, I was debating, do I go to the 7 o'clock show or the 10 o'clock? Because I figure after 10, you know, I didn't know if they were doing something special because it's over. I don't know. Probably not. Probably just going home.
Tour dates on the back of my shirt. Look closely.
There you go. Over just a little bit.
Yeah. Over just a little bit.
Over this Yeah, that's it. There we go. Okay, well, that's a little too close. Yeah, a little. No, stand
back
out
up,
a little
bit.
Back
up.
Back up. No, over. Right. Left. Left, right, right. So, okay, stand up straight.
Hulk out.
And there, Hulk out. Hulk. There you go.
Oh, and the shirt tears.
It's funny watching the delayed video as y'all are.
it's really far behind.
Wow, that's awesome. We're just so good. We're living in advanced time. That's it.
We live in the future.
We live in the future.
This is the future. I feel like it's the Jetsons when you can talk to your house.
We know 2 seconds more than you do out there.
All right,
what are the lotto numbers?
That's right.
Quick, that Galaxy Quest quick. Thing.
Go back. How do I stop seconds? The last election?
That's more than 2 seconds ago. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy. Also, a huge thank you to our patrons. Since we don't have anything in the Remember When segment this week, let's play the patron music. There we go. I love this song because it reminds me of the people who generously donate to the show for a cost of as little as a dollar a show. If we don't create content, you don't pay. That's the deal. Well, we did create content, and we're going to give you a special episode just for you Patreon people that... we talk about super secret things. And if you want to know what those super secret things are, you can be like these people and go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, John Noble, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, thank you all. Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Avner Braverman, Kay Beaumont, our latest Patreon patron.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grandpa Choco, whom we just mentioned from MST3K.
Yeah.
Dennis Patnod and Leon, all of you are very much appreciated. You keep the show going, offset the costs of hardware and software upgrades and bandwidth and domain registration. And you think this has been free the whole time? Nope, not even
close.
Wow,
they donate. Wait. They donate a lot.
How much have they been paying this last 2 years?
Wow.
Yeah, those 13 people.
Holy cow, you guys are incredible.
Remember what we said about the tin can and the shoestring and video?
Right.
Yeah. That's it.
I present it to you here.
That's impressive.
Thank you very much to all of you for your help on that. And as I mentioned, they get special, not only special content, but we are going to be creating special badges for them this year.
Ooh.
Badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
Kind of like this thing that says iHeart Podcasts and has a pin on the back. Well, we're going to get a Technorama version of something like that.
So
get it without so much glare.
The crowd goes wild.
and it's going to be this big. As big as my head.
Yeah. A huge pin.
I am crushing your head.
Turning to the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
There were several trailers released at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, of which we saw numerous ones. We'd like to highlight ones. I loved the one for Ready Player One.
Really?
Yeah, I am eagerly awaiting that movie. I think it's going to be a blockbuster.
Do you read
when
the book?
It comes out. Yes, I did.
That's why. Yeah, I did not read the book. I know some about it, but I did not actually read it.
Wait.
Even though everybody has told me to read it, I know. Everybody's telling me, you've got to read this book. It's like, okay, yeah, I know. I know I need to read the book, but I'm kind of glad I didn't now because I might like the movie better. I have this sneaking suspicion that all y'all that have read the book are going to be massively disappointed.
As always happens with book people watching
the movie. Exactly.
Well, I read that they're changing it up slightly. It's the same premise, but the story for the movie is slightly different from the book. So I'm hoping that they change it up to some degree. So it's not exactly the same. So it's, you know, it's a little interesting to watch. I think it'd be cool.
Well, you can't change it too much. You had a reason to play that game.
No, it was the
contest. I mean, it was the challenge of...
No, I'm talking about the adventure that they go on to get there. I think I'm hoping they change it up a little bit. And I love all the 80s references, especially seeing the DeLorean doing the spins around the fountain or whatever.
Yeah, and the Iron Giant.
They can include the 80s music in the soundtrack. So in that respect, it's going to be a little bit like Guardians.
And I love the trailer. The trailer looks fantastic.
Yep.
So if they can at least achieve that, but we all know trailers don't make a movie.
You're true. Hey, I will say one thing. As we're watching, I'm trying to catch all the 80s references and... I loved it seeing Freddy Krueger getting blown away.
that was good.
I mean, look.
And it is, an absolute romp down sci-fi geek lane, and there is some amazing footage in there. So I'm curious. I will definitely be watching it. I know that. So.
All right. The other one that I saw was season 2 of Stranger Things. I was like you on this one, cautiously optimistic, because Stranger Things was lightning in a bottle. Can you do it twice?
Yes.
And that's what I was curious about. And from the trailer, this is looking promising.
It does look good. I like the premise that they've already set up.
Yep.
That it's like immediately, there's no break, right? It's the season 1 ended, season 2 starts.
Kind of like Harry Potter, man. He's back on summer vacation after the previous year.
Yep.
So it's a continuation, not 4 years later.
Right.
Which you have to be careful with child actors, because if you're filming it immediately after and the kids have aged 2 or 3 years since the original production was done, that gets a little weird.
Well, that was the original idea, was that they were going to advance it a while so that the kids could age, because they've grown up quite a bit,
right?
From the time that show was shot to now. So, yeah,
it's been at least a couple of years since they shot it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't at least a year? It was some time frame even at the end of season 1.
Yes, when they were like doing the Christmas thing. Yeah,
there had been some time passage there, so they could build a little bit in that.
It was a couple of months, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's long, but yeah.
Hey, I like how it looks like they're doubling down on the 80s references too, because they're like running around in Ghostbuster uniforms and stuff.
I know.
Both of those are coming out in 2018. Mm-hmm. They did not give definite dates.
No, Stranger Things is coming out in August.
Is it that soon?
Stranger Things season 2.
August 18, right? Or is it?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
I didn't think it was that far out.
Let me see real quick.
It's raining.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's raining.
It's raining.
Big noise out there.
Yeah, it's raining. It debuts October 27th.
That's for flash floods.
There's water falling from the sky in Phoenix. We're all going to die. It's done. It's over.
I'm going to be here podcasting by myself while y'all are outside marveling at the... water coming from the sky.
What's that stuff falling from the sky?
Well, you have to live here for a while to understand why that's a big thing.
Oh, stay off the roads.
Right.
It's not the water on the roads that makes it dangerous. It's the other people that make it dangerous.
True. That's right. Most people can't drive in snow. We can't drive in water.
I was going to say, it sounds like winter in Michigan.
It is. That first snowfall in every winter. It's like, what? Did people forget?
Yeah.
Yeah. So October 27th.
October. Okay. Good. Oh. Good.
Well, then that's not bad.
No.
Cool.
All right. Stranger Things, October 27th. Hey, that's a Friday night, because I know that we're doing a podcast workshop here in Phoenix on October 28th. We'll find out more about that when we get a little further down the road. But keep that on your calendar if you're in the area, or if you want to come to the area. October 28th, we're going to be doing a podcast workshop in celebration of the third edition of Podcasting for Dummies hitting the shelves. Yes, that book behind me is finally getting a third edition. Rejoice, rejoice. I turned in my final chapters this morning, and T is working hard on it today and tomorrow, and then we're going to be
awesome.
Hands off for a while. We're going to focus on the companion podcast episodes, the upcoming workshop. We're going to get a cool name for it. We've got the website.
The Podcasting for Dummies workshop.
We've got the domain name registered. We're going to get the website set up. Craig's going to help.
Dummy McDummy Face. That's what it is.
Potty McPotty.
Potty McPotty Face?
No. We're not calling anything potty anything.
Potty McPotty.
That sounds like a toilet training book.
Potty McPotty Face. I love it.
Don't let the internet name your workshop.
Don't let people name anything. It's right. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah. Geek Library. I think most of us have played a role-playing game at one point or another.
Oh, you think?
There is a new Dungeons & Dragons site that manages the rules so you can just play.
That's nice.
I love it.
It's too long happening.
Yes, when the GM has to go into tomes to look up the rules to know
what
if
is this paper product that I'm flipping through?
Do you have the agility to cast a missile while you're flipping over cartwheels?
I attack the darkness.
You don't have that level to attack the darkness. Wait, we have
I cast
to look at
magic missile.
Magic missile. Are there any girls here? Okay, we've made reference to that clip.
I summon the poodle.
Rise. The poodle is brandishing a paper for paper cuts.
Wow.
Most warriors go to the weaponry store to buy new weapons. Rick goes to the paper store.
Office Max. Office Max is my resource. It is my armory. I have staplers and paper.
I'd like some 10-pound standard paper.
Yeah. Careful, he's got a ream.
Stop right there. Just no. No. Craig.
I'm with Craig. I would go there, but okay.
He was on a roll.
All right. Whatever. I'll stop.
Remember that talk we had after the last show?
When we had HR involved with it. Yeah.
All the forms to sign, those stupid classes. It's just all so much.
Waste two Saturdays.
All right, I'm going to read this now, okay?
Okay, yeah, please. Since we completely destroyed it, go ahead and read it.
We do that every... This is what you get on Technorama. Dungeons & Dragons, the quintessential pen and paper game, Paper Cut, is more popular than ever, thanks to Twitch channels like Geek & Sundry and podcasts like The Adventure Zone. But it's one thing to listen or watch to an watch a presentation crafted by seasoned gamers, and another to actually run your own adventure. Players may get frustrated by the hundreds of pages of rules and quit before they've even had their first goblin encounter.
Hundreds of pages? They don't have the expansion books either.
The Reader's Digest.
Right.
Cliff Notes.
What are you talking about? It's like this.
Wizards of the Coast and social gaming firm Curse aim to fix this with the launch of D&D Beyond, a website and app intended to take care of all the fine print and number crunching, leaving the dungeon masters and players free to focus on crafting a good story. Woohoo!
D&D might be coming back if this goes.
I agree. While Curse specializes in video game add-ons and communities, D&D Beyond is a different kind of project, a digital companion for tabletop game. At launch, it will mostly consist of a compendium of rules and world information from D&D's 5th edition, very popular right now, broke down into sections like spells and monsters that can be either browsed in a list or searched with plenty of filters to narrow down the exact information required. That's what it's all about, kids.
Yeah.
Find it faster.
Yeah.
The current Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide may give you all the information you need to play an adventure, but anyone who's ever used the books can attest to how hard it is to find anything in them.
No, they're so wrong. I mean,
many players
order pizza, sit down on the deck, wait for them to show them.
There's a reason these games take 7 hours. Many players end up turning to outside wikis and forums to get their information they want instead. Wizards of the Coast has tried over the years to provide some limited online help. Dungeons and Dragons has had digital content since its second edition.
It has helped, and the wiki is pretty good, too.
Yep.
It's not as searchable as it should be, but it's good.
The tools provided for the fourth edition did rather well with players. One thing all of these sites had in common is that they've always been meant as a supplement to the game. You still need to buy the books to play.
Because we need to make money off you.
Well, yeah, obviously, well, this is going to make money as well. There's going to be a service fee, I can guarantee you.
Of course there is.
The eventual goal is for D&D Beyond to completely replace the physical books.
Ooh.
That doesn't mean paper devotees are out of luck. The guides will still stay in print as long as there's demand. But players who prefer to keep everything on their computer or phone will have an official way to do that. While seasoned players will appreciate things like easier to access game minutiae, it's newbie adventurers who will benefit the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
And we need that.
You need new blood.
Because we need new blood in here, because there's just not enough people interested in it.
Right. If it moves too slow and it's too hard to do entry into this world, you're going to lose them, and then you got nothing. No one's going to be buying those books.
They'll move on to Cards Against Humanity or one of the other thousands of cardboard games that are out there.
I'm not opposed to them making a few bucks on it. I hope it's not like outrageous.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, there's definitely a reason to have a fee, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's just like when you move this to online and you're willing to pay for electronic board games. So you can set up the worlds, you can do lighting. You know, these are a lot of things you can't do in the physical world. You can show what you want to show at the right time.
I like the fact that it's going to be self-driving too. If they don't put in what people want, people aren't going to pay for it, so they're not going to make any money on it, which is the impetus to keep making it, improving it, and making it better. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm all for this. Anything that gets D&D going again is a good thing. I mean, it's so needed now.
Now, Chuck, we used Roll20. I can't remember how, we used it with Scott, Tyler. I don't know how, I'm trying to remember how detailed it was in helping you with the rules, more or less than trying to help you with a board to work in.
Yeah, the Roll20 was more a board to work in. You could keep track of your player stats there. Yeah. I think we still crafted them with Hero Labs to get the, but again, it was a lot of detail and a lot of minutia. Mm-hmm. That was my first experience when I first moved here. I joined a campaign and it just it slowed the gameplay down a lot.
That's experienced. I tried for a little while running a game with a friend and his sons who moved away. They weren't living in Traverse City anymore. And we tried to keep the game going. It just didn't work.
It's tough.
It's a different experience in real life. It can be done online.
Yeah, I tried to join a game on through a Facebook group.
Yeah,
but it's just so painful because it takes so long. I mean, just developing the character sheets or trying to advance on a campaign or even just to do one full rotation between the group, it's just time consuming. You basically post yours, you do your role, you post it, and then you wait for somebody to pick it up. Yep. And then you wait for everybody to see it. And then the next player, you get your instructions, and it's just
And then the NPCs have to play.
And then the NPCs have to play. And then the rules come into play. And
20 minutes later, it's your turn again.
Exactly. It's like it's like type a post, go do something else for an hour, come back, and maybe something will have happened. So, that didn't last long. And I just
You're now in the next up. Room.
And then last night, after 8 hours, we made it through the woods.
For me, none of it beats just sitting around the table with your friends and playing the game.
Right.
You know, that's by far the best experience.
Yeah, well, nothing like sitting around with your friends like, no, you can't cast that spell. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Well, roll for
that's
it.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a vote.
Yeah.
Who's the dungeon master here?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We are running long on the show, so I want to wrap these last few up. We're going to skip over the man who was solving Rubik's Cube on water skis. You can check the show notes for the link on that. It was very entertaining as a former person who used to do a Rubik's Cube but didn't water ski. I applaud this man.
Desperately trying to keep Rubik's Cube relevant in the world.
And wanted a viral video.
Yes, there you go.
So put the two together. What do you get? The next one I have is a series of pictures that we're going to go with the Radio Flyer wagon that I'm going to spoil my grandchildren if I ever get grandchildren. We now have the little kid's land speeder. Now,
yes.
We had a Barbie Jeep for our girls. But my kids are going to grow up as little Jedis.
This is way cooler than the
pink. It'd be cooler if it was life-size.
Adult size?
There is a life-size one. There's actually a life-size one that runs around at some of the conventions, I believe. They made it out of a Fairlane, of all things. But
Because of the size and shape, maybe?
Yeah. It's like it was just like the Batmobile.
This looks like a lot of fun. I don't care what it costs. My grandkids are going to have one.
Yeah. There you have it.
You know, some people will say, well, I wish they had that when I was a kid. If they had this when I was a kid, I still wouldn't have got one because we had 9 kids and there was never any money for something like this for one kid to have.
Right. You going to adopt me, Chuck? Maybe you can get me one?
No, because you won't come out to Phoenix there.
Oh.
What? Ow.
Well, does that mean we get one?
I think so. Yeah. I think that means we get one by default.
Yeah, they're already here.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait.
I can't wait to squeeze my ass into that thing. It'll be great.
Combined,
that should be a viral video by itself.
Oh, I got to see some pictures of
combined,
that.
Combined, you guys, it won't work. It's a combined weight of 130 pounds.
No, won't work.
Oh.
And we already mentioned the MST3K live show and did the shirt thing.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about the Arizona Podcast Workshop on October 28th.
So, yay!
What is this? Hey, follow-up.
Hey, by the way,
I threw this in here.
We mentioned it earlier, but I said it was a follow-up that the Swedes changed, named their train Training McTrain Face.
Yeah, they've rejected it. If you seen my comment, I think I commented on, I think you posted it, so I commented on it, that I think they should have kept it and just basically ignored it and called it TMT. If they'd have just named the train the TMT, then they could say that it was Training McTrain Face, fine, for all you morons out there that have to ruin everything by naming them. and then they could still have something that doesn't make them look
like it would be funny to those who knew what it meant.
Yeah, right. and that's it. It's an inside joke then, and fine. Let it be your stupid inside joke. But I think the lesson to be learned here is don't let people name things.
No.
Ever.
Don't let your internet polls be open-ended.
Yeah. I mean, we have Bodie McBoatface, Training McTrainface. How original are you, you idiots?
Right. Right. Well, I think it's funny at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Trumpy McTrumpface. He's our president.
Yes.
Our question of the week for you before we head out is, what would you build with some of the small computers like a Raspberry Pi, Pi Zero, that kind of thing? Because they were on sale on Amazon today, and I put a poll out to the Facebook people and said, how about you guys? And we got some
They were on sale?
Yes. The complete kit. Not just the circuit board, but cables, SD card, enclosure, HDMI cable, which is normally like $80. They were on sale for $60. And I was really tempted to pull the trigger, but I don't have a project in mind. So I was gathering ideas for the next time.
And his wife was looking over his shoulder. What are you doing?
I don't know.
There's a lot of neat things you can do with those. And I just wanted
I have too many things with my train already. I don't need any more.
He was going to the train yard.
A training McTrain face.
Oh, training McTrain face.
We're going to paint that on the side of one of your trains now. TMT.
Hey, just TMT. That's it. I'm going to have to get a high speed.
The graffiti.
The graffiti. I'll do a TMT.
There, the graffiti. Yeah.
Although that'll end up translating to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So. No, that's TMNT.
Yeah, but, well, yeah. I can throw an N in there.
Yeah. Let's open up a poll, and we'll see if people name it.
Yeah. Because an open poll is such a great idea.
Yeah, right. Hey, by the way, we were talking about, you know, you're mentioning the small devices. Brad Miller pointed my attention to one of these, and I may have seen it before, but I was kind of amazed when I did see it today. It was one of those BBC microbits. They yes. built them for school kids, but it has like it's almost like a card slot. So you can bit the connector separately, and you just pop the card in there after you program it. So you can like take it out and, you know, maybe reprogram it, put it back in, that kind of stuff. It's kind of neat.
That's cool.
Good grief. Yeah. We're like having way too much fun on this show. We're way long, aren't we?
Yes, we are. That's okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
If you want to try podcasting, or if you've done podcasting before, we have a challenge for you. It's called the Dog Days of Podcasting. It starts August 1st, which is coming up really soon. Go over to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. And even if you've never done a podcast before, we had, two or three people last year that just said, hey, I want to try this out. And launched very successfully. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
We have a link in the show notes if you want to go sign up.
I see 14 people are signed up so far. We can use you, Michael, Rick.
It's only once a day. You can do 5 minutes on your phone, hit record, then be done.
Yeah, right. Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah, thanks. No, that one, there's no, I have no problem with that at all. Yeah. Just hit me one more time.
He just gave the junkie some more drugs.
Yeah. Please, that's what I need, another podcast.
Just slide him some clean needles, he'll be okay.
Yep.
I escaped. I've been clean for 3 years.
Did I mention earlier in the show? Anyway, this is now an intervention group. Hi, I'm Michael.
Hi,
Michael. I'm Rick.
I used to be a podcaster.
I did 9 podcasts a week.
Wow. You are a brave individual.
Yes.
Thank you for coming here
tonight.
I was
insane. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. How long have you been off podcasts?
3 years now. I have my three-year quarter.
Your chip.
My three-year chip. Here it is.
Thanks.
There it is.
It says Bud Light.
Oh, my God. No, not that. Dear God. Holy crap.
What are you, drinking water there?
Yeah. He held up a coaster.
Screw it. Screw it. That does it. I'm back to podcasting now. That did it.
The beer cast.
If you were watching on the video, you missed
the Bud Light beer cast. That's what I'm doing. Because everybody needs shitty beer.
There's a line in the podcasting book that says that you want to have some passion and personality into your show. Otherwise, you may as well just read the owner's manual for your mobile phone. I said, T... Suddenly, I have an urge to do a podcast about reading an owner's manual.
Don't you remember my one? My watching paint dry podcast? I swore to God I was going to do it, and I could never finish it out. We had it framed out and ready to go, and I think it would have been awesome.
Oh, that's
honestly
funny.
I could have made that freaking work. I know I could have.
Hey, well, there's your dog days, Michael.
There's my dog days. I'll do the watching paint dry podcast.
Today's color is brown. I'm going to paint a door.
No, I was actually going to get the catalog and actually have the paint schemes.
And get chips.
Get all the chips and actually have the numbers and, yeah. And the variations between the Sherwin-Williams and the Bear. And so, yeah. Oh, no, I had it worked out. It would have been freaking awesome.
In video.
Yeah.
That's right. With Cletus and John.
Today's color is gunny sack. Did I mention we'll be at Dragon Con, Craig?
Yep.
Okay, we'll be there. Closing the parade podcast. Yep, because I mentioned Clinton, and then we went into the other podcast that we're doing. All right, that takes us to the end. Woo!
Really?
That was a long one.
We 6 hours later.
But you know what? We're probably not going to be around next weekend because we've got some other things to deal with before we move on and get closer to Dragon Con. So thank you very much, Rick Stringer.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Menengay.
It's been a while since I've been here, so I had to come by.
Always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
I'm loving it.
You want to get a hold of us, call us on the listener line, leave your feedback, tell us what you would make out of one of these little microcomputers. 707-530-2428. We want to hear from you. 707-530-CHAT. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or you can find us on Facebook, where we usually post the question, and get a hold of us elsewhere. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Join our Patreon group, please. Oh, did that come out too loud?
Ow. No, it wasn't long enough. It wasn't loud enough.
Craig, give me a binary high five.
101 and he face.